You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Jesus Christ is the lifesaver. You don't haul him in, he hauls you in.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, we thank you this day for the privilege of broadcasting the good news of your Son, Jesus, for 50 years and more. We thank you even more for the gift of the Lifesaver, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love in sending him to die for our sins, and for your power to turn his death by resurrection into good news for all. Good and gracious God, send your Spirit into the hearts of people everywhere, saving them from the results of their sins, and drawing them into your family by faith in the Son who gave himself for us all. In his life-saving name we pray. Amen. We begin this 50th season of broadcasting this program, as always, with a proclamation of the Word of God. To some, that may sound presumptuous, but the Word of God is what we have. If we did not proclaim the Word of God, this program would have gone off the air a long time ago. As it is, the proclamation of the Word of God is growing all the time, and in apostolic fashion is going to the ends of the world. We do not proclaim our own pride or our own prejudices. We tell others the good news of God that has come to us through the Word of God, changing our lives as it has changed the lives of people all over the world. The good news of God is the good news of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and the Savior of the world. The Word of God is always talking about Jesus Christ. St. Paul said, God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Nobody proclaims the good news of God without telling people about the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross may not sound like good news, but it is. It is good news to find out for yourself what the cross of Christ is always telling the whole world. God cares, even when you don't care. God loves, even though you've often turned against him. God forgives, even though you've often acted like a rebellious son or daughter. God gives new life, even while the world wastes its time trying to pump new blood into the old life, which is really hostile to God and leads but to death. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God can't wait for you to get rid of your sins and become good enough to earn his favor. If he did, it would be a long, long wait. Nothing would really happen, and you would be dead and gone. Left to themselves, people do not turn around and turn to God. They do not repent of their sins and turn over a new leaf. In a very short time, that new leaf, whatever it is, turns out to be the same old leaf, looking more pious, perhaps, but filled with the same old pride, passion, and prejudice that characterized the old leaf. The new leaf prescription, so attractive to people because it holds the promise of new life without paying any real attention to God, reminds me of the angry man who stormed into a newspaper office, waving the morning paper and demanding to see the editor. He was referred to a young reporter who asked how he could help. "Help," the angry man shouted. "You're the one who will need help if you don't print a correction right away. Look," he said, pointing to the obituary column, "you have me listed as dead. But as you can see, I am very much alive. I demand that you print a correction." The reporter replied, "I'm very sorry, sir, but this paper never retracts a story. Tell you what I'll do. In tomorrow morning's newspaper, I'll put your name in the birth column and give you a fresh start." Nobody gets a fresh start just by having his name in the birth column of today's newspaper. New life does not come that way. Life is not just water over the dam, and you can forget about it. The regrets of life start for some people with birth. First, they could have had other parents. Others wish that they had studied harder in school while they had the chance, but now they have to live with deficiencies of their own making. Men in business wish they had worked harder and taken advantage of opportunities rather than letting them slip by through inattention or laziness. Certain couples wish they had taken more time in selecting a mate. Many parents would give anything to try over again with their children. People with ruined health regret the abuse of their bodies. Everybody has his own regrets. They're part of life, with no turning back the clock. The good news of God is that He does not need to turn back the clock. He reaches in and hauls out to a new life. In His own good time, God called Abraham to leave his country, his home country, and become the father of the faithful, with all his human imperfections graphically described in the Bible. Abraham listened to God and trusted God. By the grace of God, and for no other reason, Abraham left his old life behind and started a new life solely on the promise of God. Why did God pick Abraham? Right out of the goodness of his heart. Why did Abraham follow the call of God? Only because God, in His grace, had plucked him from that blood-soaked land where people offered outlandish and even human sacrifices to appease God and to atone for their own sins, sending Abraham to a new land that he had never heard of before. With faith in the promise of God, Abraham went. Never knowing exactly that he had arrived, Abraham wandered over the promised land, living as a stranger in a foreign country, never owning a piece of property until he bought the cave Machpelah as the burial place for his beloved Sarah. Always looking for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God was not ashamed to be called the God of that man. In the fullness of the time, God fulfilled a promise to Abraham. He would become the father of a great nation and also the father of the promised Messiah. The promise was fulfilled, not only to Abraham, but to the whole world. It was fulfilled in a way that was hard to believe. God shows His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God shows His love for you, whoever you are, in that Christ died for you. The birth of Christ is part of your history, as it is an inescapable fact of the history of the whole world. Christ died for you, as He died for all. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is God's lifesaver, thrown out to the world. It is not just a piece of candy, as some people have made it out to be, something to add a little spice to life, to make it a little bit sweeter, to brighten up the dark day for the children. The death of Christ is a real lifesaver, rescuing people, salvaging their lives, pulling them in from the dark waters which would otherwise prove to be their grave. God shows his love toward you, not because you're so good, but because he is so good. That's the good news of God in Jesus Christ. It's the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is also the power of that gospel. The good news of God reaches out and touches the hearts of people like you and me. It tells you that while you are yet a sinner, even an enemy of God, Christ died for your sins. There's power in that good news to turn you around and also to bring you in. God not only hauls you out of the dark water, but he hauls you in to a new life, which he promises to you, as he did to Abraham and to all who put their trust in God. Jesus himself was talking about the power of the gospel when he said, "I, if I be lifted up on a cross, will draw all to myself." He died for all. And he calls all to himself. He calls you. You are not excluded. You are included. You are invited to receive the forgiveness of your sins and to live the new life in Christ, full of the love of God, which passes all understanding. People may come to some understanding of themselves by examining their childhood or other circumstances surrounding their lives, but they will not be saved by that understanding. People may come to themselves as the prodigal son came to himself, but they will not be saved unless they turn as the son did to his father, saying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son." People will not even be saved by their repentance unless they turn to their father in full confidence that the father promises forgiveness and a new life. That's the secret of salvation, to turn to God your father with full confidence in his love and forgiveness, accepting what the father gives in his only and well-beloved son. God shows his love to me in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. As St. Paul said, we are reconciled to God by the death of Jesus and are saved by the life of Jesus. At the bedside of a young man dying of leukemia, I was able to say to him with full confidence, "The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin." The power of Jesus to forgive sins has been sealed once and for all by his resurrection from the dead. The power of the good news of Jesus is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. It's a marvelous power, and it is for you. All of the power lies in the unbelievable love of God, demonstrated in the cross of Jesus Christ, and going out to people in the good news of that cross, even today. A Sunday school teacher once told her children, "God won't love you when you are bad." That is wrong. He will. He will forgive, and he will reclaim. He will love. God showed his love toward us and shows it today in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. A pastor in West Germany visited a family in his community consisting of a father, mother, and a 12-year-old boy. As they all sat around the fire, the father began to tell of the circumstances surrounding the adoption of their only son, a youngster they had aided during the war years. "The child was just a poor orphan when we first saw him," said the father. "He was in rags and very dirty, but his shoes were worst of all. The uppers were in tatters, and the soles had huge holes in them. We immediately gave him new clothes, but decided to keep those battered shoes as a reminder of how bad off he had really been. I put them in a closet nearby," said the father, "and whenever our son complains or becomes unruly, I'm ready to take them out to help him remember how much we have done for him." Careful to avoid offending his host, the pastor said nothing at the moment, but he noticed how hurt, ashamed, and a bit unwanted the boy seemed to be. Then he said to the family, "What a blessing it is that God has cast out our sins into the sea of everlasting forgetfulness. God wants you as a beloved son or daughter in his family. You're not a poor orphan who must constantly be demoralized by having previous sins put on display to remind you of your failures. God loves you too much to bring out those old shoes. He remembers our sins no more. He does that for sons and daughters who put their confidence in him. God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." During World War II, the Japanese on the west coast of the United States were singled out for abuse, ridicule, and attack. A Christian pastor reminded his congregation that Jesus wanted them to love these Japanese. After the service, an elder said to him, "There will never be any of those Japs in this church if I have anything to say about it." The pastor asked, "Don't you think Christ died for the Japanese too?" In a burst of profanity, the elder said, "Those so-and-sos are not worth it." And all the pastor said was, "Are you?" When you think about it, you're not worth it either. Neither am I. All of us are like a piece of ruined film. None of us was worth anything until Jesus died for us. And now you're worth more than the whole universe. God loves you as you are. You won't be the same when you accept his love in Christ Jesus. God loves you as you are. I've heard about a Christian who's having a terrible struggle with an evil habit. He resolved to give it up. But time and time again in his weaker moments, he stumbled and fell. On each occasion, he confessed his sin. He had succumbed to temptation so often that he began to despair, thinking that God surely would bring to mind his many shortcomings. After losing another spiritual battle, he cried out with a broken heart, "Oh, Lord, I've done it again. I've done it again." Expecting a stern rebuke, that fearful soul was somewhat stunned and greatly comforted when the word came from his heavenly Father saying to him, "What have you done again?" It's just a parable, of course, but the parable illustrates a great fact. God shows his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. As St. Paul said, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, and look, the new has come. The new comes, it happens, by the power of Christ living in the heart of anyone who has faith in him. It's a fresh start. It's cause for rejoicing in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul himself said. John Greenleaf Whittier once wrote, "Of all the sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, 'It might have been.'" Christ has given a new notch to that commentary on life. Of all glad words of tongue or pen, the gladdest are these, "It can still be." Whoever you are and wherever you may be, the lifesaver is being thrown out to you today. He comes not from me, but from God himself. In his word, God is reaching out to you with the good news of his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ died for you and Christ lives for you. The good news of Christ offers you full forgiveness and a brand new life. It's like starting life all over again. It's like being reborn with faith in Jesus Christ. It is living in the love everyone needs. God shows his love to us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is not a confidence game where people are taken in. We have the word of God for it. Jesus Christ is the lifesaver. You don't haul him in, he hauls you in. God shows his love toward you, and that while you are yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Remember that. Believe that. And live by it. Amen.